for my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is, life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Bad feeling about this.
Welcome to episode 335 of Blue Harvest. I'm your host, Halls Burkhart.
And I'm your host, Will Witten.
And this week's special guest to talk about chapter 6 of the Book of Boba Fett, From a Desert Came a Stranger, or whatever the fuck. We got a special guest for you guys this week. He is a ice skating connoisseur. He's from the Sith list. You've heard him on the very Patreon that is associated with this show, in our show, Masters of Harvest Kasi. He also does Patreon shows for our buddy Steel Wars and the Bad Motivators. He is a man who has at times uncovered. There was like a velvet cloth over his Star Wars scrying stone, which he uncovered and opened his third eye and looked into the depths of Star Wars cock-a-doodle speculating and fished out layers of gold. It's our buddy, the king of all toms, Tom Chansky.
Well, I don't think I could say or do anything this episode to justify that intro, but thank you. Wow, I am excited to be here talking with you and with Will, and I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah,
almost,
man,
as much as I look forward to every Book of Boba Fett or whatever Star Wars show of the week we're getting.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to tell anymore.
Yep.
So yeah, we're gonna be talking about Chapter 6. There's a lot to talk about. A episode packed to the brim with Star Wars of almost every flavor. You know, maybe a little light, like, you know, if you go into Subway and you're like, oh, I want this sandwich, and could you put some Southwest sauce on it, and they just do like a tiny little on your sandwich, you're like, nah, man, I need a little more of that. The little was Boba Fett in this episode. But regardless, we'll get there.
Where Boba?
Where Boba? The question of the century, where Boba? Tom, buddy, you know, as a listener to Sith List and whatnot, I know a good bit about your feelings on the series so far. We've talked a little bit, you know, slid into the DMs, if you will. But what have you thought of the show thus far leading up to Chapter 6?
I love it. It's Star Wars, and it's a new person and new voices doing Star Wars. And I was never as huge a Boba Fett fan as you. I always liked him as a character, but at the same time, I thought his portrayal in the EU was all over the place, and he was obviously some writers living out their fantasies. Mm-hmm. So I was really looking forward to what they did with him when they reset the canon. And up until recently, they didn't do much, but when we saw him in the Mando, I loved how they brought him back and, you know, gave him a reason, gave him depth. And so I was really looking forward to this show, and what we've seen of him in this show, I've really liked.
Yeah.
I like I like how Boba loves animals. I like the training with the Tuskens. I like trying to be a leader with honor. And, you know, episode 3, I think, was the weak point so far. But still, that was some fun Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
These last two episodes, and I'm counting this week's and last week's, they've been some great Star Wars. I've had a few issues with them. They've been some great Star Wars, but they haven't given me what I wanted to continue this Boba Fett story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I've spent a lot of time on the Blue Harvest Patreon through, you know, my immediate reactions and also doing the bonus show with Steel that we do, sort of expressing my feelings over it all. And the last thing I want to be when everybody is as hyped on Star Wars content as people are with these last two episodes is a wet blanket about it, especially considering I love the episodes. It's the weirdest feeling.
Is.
Like, I've always known that the day would come when I wouldn't like something like some major Star Wars release. And by a major Star Wars release, I mean, you know, something that I watch. Like, you know, I might not like an episode of an animated series here or a comic there or even a book here or there. But to me, that's, you know, that is not the same as, you know, like a piece of something to watch, right? But never did I expect that I would like something as much as I do as these last two episodes and still be sort of massively disappointed at the same time. It's so weird. It's such a weird feeling that I'm truthfully having a bit of a problem wrestling with. And poor Jesse, I just have to say, like, shout out to Jesse for being the best partner imaginable in this situation, because, you know, I don't, like, when I wake up on Wednesday morning, you know, she's already been working for a couple of hours. I was up late watching and recording, and she always asked me, like, how was Book of Boba Fett? And the last 2 weeks, I've said, it's really good, you know, not because that is how I feel. And I say, stay off of Twitter, because, you know, people can't keep their fucking cool and not spoil stuff. And then I don't, like, because I don't want to taint her impression of the episode before she sees it. So I don't, you know, let her in on how I'm feeling about it. But after each episode, she's had to hear me, like, I wouldn't say rant, but definitely, like, veers on the edge of rant for about 20 minutes. And, like, you know, she's like, what a saint. She's just like, you know what? You're right. You're right. So, that being said, you know, I don't want to harp on it too much. It does disappoint me. I am of the opinion that there isn't going to be a season two of Book of Boba Fett. I think this was a stopgap measure for them to have something in between Mandalorian season 2 and 3. I think that's becoming even more apparent based on these last two episodes.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that I can't believe I'm saying this, and I don't want this to come off in some sort of entitled, whiny, fandom menace-y type way, but I don't even necessarily get the feeling that they really know what they want to do with Boba. Granted, we have a whole another episode to wrap up the series, so hopefully my mind will be changed. But regardless of all that, let's get into the meat of it. We'll start with you, Will. What did you think of this episode?
This episode kind of blew my mind so hard that I had to stop and rewatch certain parts of it just to make sure that I heard that right or understood that right, or I don't know, like 12-year-old William's mind like kind of exploded, because this is what I've been wanting to see since, you know, the destruction, since the Empire crushing party at the end of Return of the Jedi. Like, this was it. Like, this was the moment. Jedi, you know, Luke training new Jedi, or what that would be like, or, you know, the inclusion of everything, so much information, so many legacy characters. Like, my mind was just blown. I really had to rewatch certain parts of it just to allow myself the ability to take it in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot to take in. So much so that now, having seen it three times, I still feel like there's more I could catch here and there, little pieces.
Because I feel like the interactions with Luke are so well written.
Mm-hmm.
There can be levels of meaning behind it. And the same in Ahsoka and Din Djarin as well.
Yeah, there's the Luke that we get in this episode reminds me so much of what was previously my favorite post Return of the Jedi pre-sequel trilogy depiction of Luke, which was Luke from Battlefront 2.
Oh, yeah.
Something about his portrayal in this episode reminds me of that Luke from Battlefront 2 so much. And I felt like the writing for Luke was really good. What about you, Tom? What did you think of this episode?
Yeah, I loved the Luke's... Well, I want to say I loved the Luke stuff, but I'm just going to say it. The thing that I had a big problem with was Luke was a dick at the end by making Grogu choose.
So we can get into that some more. Go ahead.
No, I just, and maybe it's not something that he figures out until later, but I would have thought that, you know, all signs that we've gotten, I think there was something about it in the Last Jedi novelization. There was that comic book appearance with Elzar Man last month. I thought that Luke would have been kind of steering away from the Jedi no attachment dogma.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed, and I'm hoping that either it's a test or Grogu just uses the Force to snatch both and doesn't let go. But I did not like that. Having said that, everything with Luke and Grogu up to that point, I was like amazed, and I felt it. When Ahsoka said, just like your father, I think you said on with Steel, that was your moment of the episode. Mm-hmm. That would have been mine, but the I'm a friend of the family line.
Oh, yeah, that one's good too.
That was great. And I want more of their like meeting, their conversations, mm-hmm. they're just hanging out. I think that this opens up Luke to being a main character in the Ahsoka series.
I think it opens up Luke to be a main character throughout the MTU, the Mando television universe. Like I remember vividly at the end of 2020, when Luke mm-hmm. showed up in Mando, it was me and Will and Steele on the episode. And the three of us were discussing like, well, now they've introduced him. Do you think we'll see him again? And the three of us all said, yeah, but it'll probably be in, you know, some big sort of climactic moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to focus on him in any sort of major way. And boy,
we may have even said they're not going to focus on him in Grogu training or anything like that.
Yeah, we might have.
They shut me up.
Yeah. I mean, we could not have been more wrong. The one thing I did want to say, and I want to give a shout out to our buddy Rick Villanueva. He sent me a clip from a movie called Shogun Assassin. And in this clip, there's a samurai, and in front of him is a samurai sword and a ball and a little baby. And he's talking to this little baby, and he said, you have to choose one of these. If you choose the sword, I'll take you as my apprentice, and I'll train you. You'll become a samurai. If you choose the ball, I'm going to kill you, is basically what he says. And when Rick sent it to me, like, my mind was blown. What a good fucking catch Rick had, because it is the scene from the end of this. But as far as that choice moment goes, and I know we're skipping ahead a bit here.
Tarantinoing it.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of it either. And partially because at least I feel like we know the choice that Grogu was going to make. Din did not get a car seat installed in his new ride for no reason, right?
Right.
And I do, like, while I love the Luke stuff, the Ahsoka stuff, the episode in general, I do have some questions, and maybe we can sort of work through those as we talk about the episode. But like Tom said, like, you know, my interpretation of Return of the Jedi has always been like Luke not adhering to the ways of the Jedi of old and showing love for his father is what brought Anakin back from the dark side and allowed him to complete the prophecy of being the chosen one, right? And yeah. then, you know, just a few years later for him to be like telling this cute little green guy, nah, man, you don't need to really be attached to what is essentially your father figure is confusing to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I especially with Ahsoka's presence there, I'm sure she dictated the story of how his attachment to, you know, his father's attachment to Padme helped lead to his downfall, if she even knows about that.
Yeah.
I mean, Darth Vader's story is a cautionary tale of attachment and inability to let go.
But, yeah. It. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I see what you're saying, Will, but also I think that the way that he had to deal with it in terms of being a Jedi by hiding it and having to live two lives where he had to look at her and his relationship with her through the lens of the Jedi. I think that had more to do with it than the fact that he was choosing, you know, he was choosing both, if that makes sense. It wasn't the attachment. It was the way the Jedi dealt with the attachment.
Yeah. And I was going to say that, you know, granted, I am not 100% up to date on the High Republic stuff. So, Tom, if I misspeak or get something wrong, please feel free to correct me on this. But the way they sort of portray the Jedi's feelings toward attachment in the High Republic seems to be sort of this concept of like they believe attachment is okay long as it's not attachment in sort of a selfish, personal sense.
Attachment with fear of loss.
Right.
Yeah. It's not, it's so, it's more like attachment keeps some, can keep you from seeing the big picture versus attachment leads to the dark side.
Right. So, you know, it took me way too long to realize it as a Star Wars fan, but the version of the Jedi that we see in the prequels are pretty flawed and they're on the decline. Like that's the whole story of the prequels is sort of the fall of the Jedi Order and how that comes about. So to have Luke sort of revert and feel like to have him sort of revert and align himself with more of like sort of the prequel ideology of the Jedi seems a little weird to me. Granted, clearly there's a lot more Luke's story we can get in the future now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know. It's possible he's already come by those ancient Jedi texts that he coveted so much, and he may be reading out of there.
Could be, and it could also be that, like, we're, you know, I also, to be completely honest with you guys, I like the idea of post-Return of the Jedi, Luke isn't a perfect dude either. He's figuring it out as he goes along. And yeah, he's, you know, he's got some stuff to work through and figure out. So I'm fine with that. I just hope we get to see that, you know, as these stories go on.
We are getting a book sometime later this year, I think in the summer, the one with him and Lando on the Trail of Ochi.
Yes.
Which I think takes place like 10 years from where he is now. And I don't know that I expect it to, you know, reference Grogu or anything like that, but hopefully we'll see a little bit more of his, you know, the type of Jedi he is.
Yeah. So we'll jump into sort of, you know, going in a little bit more like chronological order of the episode. I do want to say shout out. I can't say their name. Somebody hit me up around, I would say around lunchtime on Tuesday and said, hey man, I just wanted to let you know, I've been listening to the show and stuff. I know you're bummed about Boba Fett. I wanted to give you a heads up. He's, from what I understand, not in this next episode very much. But there's a ton of character appearances. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. And boy, was there.
Did that help you?
I mean, it helped me not be, and I know this might sound silly, it helped me not be super anxious watching the episode, just wondering the whole time, like, okay, this is cool. When's Boba going to show up, though? So it kind of did prepare me for that. So, you know, it all kicks off. Din shows up on this planet. To be completely honest with you, still not completely sure how he knows where to find Luke, but that's besides the point. And immediately we get an R2-D2. Well, no, I'm wrong.
I'd best say it's R2. R2's the only reason he knows to find anybody, and R2 takes him to Ahsoka.
Would it have been because he had the chain code tracker?
Oh, for Grogu, maybe.
Yeah.
His DNA, maybe?
Well, yeah, because he was given a chain code tracker to find him in season one, but I don't know if he kept that or not.
Yeah, and I don't know how those work. That was my guess.
Actually, it kicks off with Cobb Vanth. I'm wrong. We get whole scene of Cobb Vanth.
Which is awesome.
And he's talking shit to the Pikes. They have their whole showdown. He dumps the space meth out on the sand and stuff. So, you know, right off, it kicks off with a character appearance. I will say that it is, I do agree that it's fucked up that they don't credit Chuck Wendig at all in the credits, considering he created the character of Cobb Vanth. I would like to see them fix that. That is an easy fix. They were able to go in to the last episode of the Mandalorian season two and add an in memoriam message for Jeremy Bullock, which was awesome. So they could just as easily credit the dude in the next episode of the Book of Boba Fett, and I think they should. But then Mando goes to this planet. Now, what do you guys think? Do you think this is the planet we saw, you know, like in the flashbacks in the sequel trilogy, in the Rise of Kylo Ren comics? Is this the same planet that we saw Luke having his Jedi Academy or temple or whatever set up on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I like that we're at a point where we don't have to have planet names every time, but like, it is confusing. The hut seems to be the exact same style, that domed out stone that is on Octu, right? Isn't that a similar kind of architecture?
Yeah, but that also seemed to keep, it is very similar, but it also seemed to be a similar architecture to the huts we saw like in the Rise of Kylo Ren and in the flashbacks to Luke's Academy, that, you know, the brief ones we saw in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of just assumed it was the same place, but
it makes sense that it would be. For some reason it just didn't look the same from the flashback. But, you know, that was so brief. How can you tell?
I don't remember it felt like there were that many trees in the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Around the huts, it felt like there was like a giant hut surrounded by smaller ones. But I do think that it is the one he and Leia trained on that we see in the Rise of Skywalker flashback.
Oh, now that is interesting, because if that's the case, that's the jungle planet from the Rise of Skywalker. They're the same planet, Kolar or whatever.
Oh, you're right. Then maybe, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
I mean, not that it's the biggest deal. I was just kind of wondering, you know, obviously, right. You know, in the course of building the main building and then all the extra huts, I'm sure Luke or his ant droids or whatever cleared out, you know, some more area. I do think it's kind of weird that they've been so squirrely about telling us the name of the planet where Luke's temple was.
Did Ahsoka say it?
I don't think she did, right?
For some reason, I thought she said a planet name, but I could be wrong.
So Din shows up. R2 is there. Always love seeing R2. And sure enough, these ant droids, which I thought were a really cool design, were building this building, and they make a bench for Din, which I thought was real funny because he's like, is this a bench? And then we get to this, it cuts, and we get to the first scene of Luke and Grogu meditating together. There's the cute frog stuff. And I got to be honest with you guys, I was kind of astonished at the leap in quality of the fake Luke versus season two of The Mandalorian. What did you think, Tom?
There were a few scenes where his hair looked a little messed up, but yeah, I think I didn't mind the one in Mando season two.
Me neither.
I didn't see, like, you know, I wasn't offended or my, you know, delicate sensibilities or whatever. I was fine with it. I did think this looked a lot more like, you know, Mark Hamill back around that time.
What'd you think, Will?
I really thought it was great. It, like you said, I thought it was quite the improvement. There were a few seconds in there. I mean, but you got to be looking closely, and you know, somebody like me, I'm a harsh critic. I'm looking for that super closely, but there are only a couple half seconds in there. The rest of it is like super on point, peak, impressive, well done. And I know they credit Mark Hamill, and I don't know if that's just because of his likeness. I don't know how much was the AI or if he actually delivered any dialogue or if that's just still the algorithm, but it's on point. Like, it sounds like his young voice. It looks like young him. You know, whoever the actor is emoting, you know, behind that frame is emoting well, you know, so that the algorithm does its job as well. Things are popping.
I agree with you.
It was a transition shot or two, what I'm talking about, that was kind of weak. I don't remember the specific one, but I remember some sort of kind of half zoomed out transition shot. And I was like, ooh, that was not a strong angle. But then, you know, anytime they get up in his face, it was on point.
I totally agree. It's not 100% yet, but it's taken a massive leap in quality already in a year. And this is the thing, though. The fact that you know, watching it, that it's fake, I think leads you to look at it closer than you normally would, right?
Absolutely so, agreed.
Right. So, go ahead, Tom.
Especially with how they showed us how they do his voice,
where
they take, like, knowing that, it's like, I think knowing all of it, like you said, you tend to look for that harder.
Yeah. And I think on repeat viewings of this episode, at least it has, for me, it kind of all just like, it's almost like your eyes get squinty and a little blurrier and you just accept it after the first viewing where you're like, oh, wow, look at this. I thought the voice was really good this time. Once again, I thought it was an improvement over last time. But there were still a couple instances where it felt like maybe a bit flat and robotic, but it's still impressive as hell. And to your point, Will, I'm pretty sure, and I could be very wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure they probably used a very similar, if not the same, process as they did for Mando season two. As far as like having Mark Hamill on set, having a body double in the costume and doing the performance, and then sort of combining all the elements and using sort of like the AI generated voice creator or whatever, just to way better effect. And if this is the result of them hiring that deepfake guy from YouTube, I say, well done.
Yeah. Right. Well done. I was just going to say, it kind of off what you said something earlier, like we're there, like it's not 100% of the time, but like you said, it's kind of only cause you're looking. But while I'm looking at this Luke and I was like, oh, we're there. Like we made it. Like Luke could be in every episode if he wanted to. They could do Luke's Jedi Academy and they could just do this whole thing with Luke the whole, like, we're there finally. Like, I know it'll only get better from here, but we made it to that point.
I'm 100% convinced at this point that they should do the Luke Skywalker show. I think they
now
should.
There's nothing holding them back.
I mean, you know, I was never necessarily against them, you know, doing a recast and casting someone to play Luke in this era. That was never something that bothered me as a concept.
No, me either.
But if they wanted to do the post episode 7 or episode 6 adventures of Luke Skywalker with him, you know, going around the galaxy, doing his Jedi thing, helping people in need, learning more about Jedi history. And
looking for holocrons and
whatever it takes, man. Whatever you want to do. I think now's the time. I think now's the time. Mark Hamill's still with us, so you can, you know, involve him like they have been. And like the one thing I would think might hold them back is clearly this was an expensive Vass episode, right?
Oh yeah, are you kidding?
But you know, maybe you do 6 episode seasons or a 6 episode mini series or something where you don't have to do as many episodes, so you can put more budget into each episode. Whatever it would be that you need to do, I think they could do it, and I think it would do gangbusters. You look at the general reaction to this last episode and the season finale of The Mandalorian, and I think it would generate a lot of buzz and probably Disney Plus subscribers for them, if I had to guess.
Absolutely.
So, you know, given the cliffhanger we were left with at the end of last episode, I was pretty convinced we would be seeing Luke and Grogu this episode. So it wasn't, not that I wasn't surprised, but it wasn't the biggest surprise, right? What was a surprise and I didn't expect was Ahsoka. Ahsoka was one that I just did not see coming. What did you think about the Ahsoka stuff, Tom?
Yeah, even though it was a Filoni episode, I was still surprised to see her. You know he's going to use her, but at the same time, I thought I didn't think we would get Luke because I thought they would keep that till later on. And then once I saw Luke, I'm like, okay, there's no way we're getting Ahsoka too. And then there she was. You know, I thought she looked good. I liked how she was used, but at the same time, like I said earlier, I want more of her and Luke interacting. I want, you know, her telling him stories about his parents, and mm-hmm. you know, I want to know how they hooked up. And I'm guessing that maybe we will see that in the Ahsoka show or in anything else they do in the future.
Yeah, how many times have any of us sort of speculated once it was established that Ahsoka was around, you know, during the original trilogy time, and that she even survived past the original trilogy? The first thing that I think pops into a lot of people's minds is like, oh, what would it be like if Ahsoka and Luke met? Like, Ahsoka could tell Luke so much about his dad and the version of his dad that he's always wanted to know about, right?
Right.
So I also kind of have to give him a little bit of a pat on the back for the restraint of also not trying to work that into this episode, to where we come in and they've already met. You know, she's got that great line about being a friend of the family. I got to say, you know, we got to see her last year in Mandalorian, but it was a very dark episode, you know, like,
yes.
So seeing her in full daylight really made me sort of appreciate how they pulled off the look of Ahsoka in general. Mm-hmm. Because I've always said that some of these awesome animated characters, when they would show up in live action, it could be a crapshoot. Like, you could have a live action Ahsoka and it looked pretty shitty. You could have a live action Cad Bane or Thrawn. Well, I feel like they've nailed them so far. So any doubts I have about like what Thrawn might look like in live action are pretty much out the window now. What about you, Will? What'd you think about the Ahsoka stuff?
I thought it was appropriate. I'm glad that she was there to buffer that interaction. It just seemed really appropriate. Like, and he and Mando kind of needed to hear that as well. And I mean, I feel like it's true. I know that, you know, as Star Wars folks, we don't like that idea that attachment is bad, or, you know, attachment without fear is bad. But there's a lot of truth there. You know, if Grogu's always looking back instead of looking forward, he can't progress, you know. But if he does choose to be with Mando, it'd be cool. Anyway, but the Ahsoka stuff is cool. Just having her in there, be present, the reference to Luke about Anakin, you know, just knowing that they know about that, or, mm-hmm. you know, her deferring to him, you know, she's like, you know, that's up to Master Skywalker. Like, You know, she recognizes he is a Jedi Master, and asking her for guidance, you know, his recognition to her for her experience and wisdom. Like, I love that back and forth of respect and recognition. Like, that is the kind of shit that I like.
Yeah, she's got another really good line where Din is like, you know, I want to give him this. I just want to make sure he's safe. And she says, there's nowhere safer in the galaxy than here with Luke. Obviously, we know, you know, several years down the line, that doesn't necessarily turn out to be true. But regardless of that, I really like that line. Like,
something that I meant to bring up last week that I forgot. The symbolism in the gift. Do you see the baby Grogu?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when she ties the knot, there's the little head with the giant ears on each side.
Oh, yeah.
With the little, what the male is in.
And so, you know, she takes him. And what is honestly, like, a beautiful shot. She takes Mando and shows him Luke and Grogu hanging out across the lake. I just thought of it because she just walked up and almost scared me. But Jesse starts bawling. She's like, he's not going to get to see him? I don't like that. And I was like,
man. I know, but it's emotionally powerful.
It is,
the fact that she was so emotional, it shows you the power of that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think this episode was, in my opinion, really well written. And then we get some more Luke and Grogu training, which I'm a big fan of.
Ballin'. Baller. Like, if anyone of this podcast knows, that's what I've been waiting for years. Like, I want to see Luke training the young Jedi. Like, I was just mind blown that I was getting to see it. And the way it was happening, you know, his patience and his guidance and the way Grogu was getting it and hopping along with the training remote. Too cool. Too fucking cool.
I love Luke running with him in the little backpack and, like, doing the front flip from Empire Strikes Back. And
it's like, I want to show you something.
Crawling up the bamboo and showing him the, like, the planet laid out before him and talking about balance. And it was just, like, just even talking about it now, I'm getting goosebumps.
Gives you goosebumps.
Yeah. What about you, Tom? What you think about the training stuff?
Yeah, it, like, immediately I started seeing parallels, but it didn't. It felt like parallels, but it was not the same thing. If that makes sense, because it was the environment was different, because Luke was the teacher now, and it's, you know, it's using the same way he was trained, and he wasn't trained like other Jedi. He wasn't trained like Ahsoka. He wasn't trained like Grogu was trained in the temple. But he was still getting through. And like, you know, like Will said, that when he took him up to the top and showed him everything, I thought that was a great, you know, that's a great use of the space.
Yeah. And
that they're in,
you know, I love that once Grogu starts sort of reconnecting with the Force and remembering, because Luke even says it's almost like he's just remembering what to do instead of me training him.
I like that.
Like, Grogu starts hopping around like Yoda in the prequels, like just little nods like that even. And then, you know, there's the scene where, like, Luke is like leading Grogu through the forest and, like, occasionally using the Force to, like, lift him up and move him along. I even remember, like, when Luke stood up and said, hey, I want to go on a walk with you. I was like, come on, man. You might want to pick up that little guy. He's got little legs. And then he's like telling him about Yoda. And boy, is that, like, what a beautiful scene of him telling him, like, he was little like you, but he had a giant heart. And he spoke in riddles. And
trying to get information. Like, trying to ask him.
Do you remember anybody that spoke like that from back where you came from or whatever? And then he uses the Force to help Grogu remember, and we get this, like, sick ass Order 66 flashback from the like first person view of Grogu, and there's Jedi and physical clone troopers and all this stuff. I thought for sure when it was happening that we were going to get the reveal of whoever saved Grogu.
That's what I thought too.
They're clearly holding that for another time.
Yeah.
the thing is, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, if they're holding that back for another time, I don't think, because I think it looks like when Grogu makes the choice, he's going to go for the chainmail. But at the same time, with the way they held it back, I think we're going to get the second part. And I think, you know, Luke is going to be there. Luke is going to be part of it. So maybe, you know, even if he does choose the chainmail, his path with Luke won't be over.
I hope not. Because that's the thing. Go ahead, Will.
I was just going to say, so many parallels to Empire Strikes Back in this episode. I feel like that's the last one that's going to be somewhere else. Like, he'll choose to stay as a Jedi, but at some point, he's going to tell Luke, you know, he's going to feel that the Mandalorian needs him or something like that. And he's like, look, I got to go be with my friends. You know, I have to go save my friends. And Luke will just give him the armor anyway. He'll be like, look, just take this. You know, I knew you were going, but take this and be safe.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even think about that, Will. I didn't, like, for all the Empire Strikes Back parallels that are in this episode with Luke training Grogu and stuff, I didn't even consider this idea of Grogu leaving before his training is complete being yet another one. So that's an interesting observation.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's great.
Yeah. I really liked the training stuff. It's so cool to see. Because, you know, we got to see a much different version of Luke, understandably, in The Last Jedi and how he briefly trained Rey. But to see him, you know, younger and not as jaded and not as fucked up from all the circumstances of his life and everything that goes wrong doing the training was like a nice touch too. Like, and
absolutely. Do you know how cathartic that probably is for Mark Hamill? Like, Mark Hamill really needed that, because I don't think he expected to play Luke the way he did. I think what he was expecting to come back to Luke was this, what he's doing right now. Like, that's what he was expecting.
Yeah, and I think the two versions interface with each other really nicely. Like, you know, there's been this...
You have to go here to go there.
There's been this dumbass sort of, like, contrived war, if you will, between people who are like, well, they did Luke like they did him in Mandalorian season 2 as like a fuck you to the sequel trilogy and stuff. No. And no. If Luke was in the same place 20 years later, 30 years later, whatever it is from this point, if he was just the same character and had no challenges in his life or and
hardships
and faced no obstacles, that's boring. That's boring. That is mindless fan fiction. You can definitely see the gentler, more confident Return of the Jedi version of Luke a few years later and it not be incompatible with the version of Luke we see in the sequel trilogy. And to be honest, Luke ends back up in this in a very similar spot as he does. As he is in these episodes. Like, I think that's a big thing that people that want to shit on it ignore, is that Luke only starts off crabby and grumpy in The Last Jedi. He embraces his Jedi destiny by the end of the movie.
But, and even more so in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to ask, before we move on, who do you think saved Grogu?
Well, weirdly enough, so speaking of Rick, he and I were messaging each other and talking about it. And I said, I think it's possible maybe it's Barriss Offee.
Okay.
You know, Barriss Offee, we haven't seen since the Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Order arc from Clone Wars. There's been rumors, who knows how reliable they are, that, you know, she's a possibility to show up in the Ahsoka show. And, like, I was just trying to think of outlier characters, right, that could be around to serve that purpose. Because I truthfully don't think it's going to be a super obscure secondary character. Like, Nick Gillard's character, you know, or something like that, right?
Syndralic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Syndralic, or it's unfortunately.
I thought that was him that died.
It might have been
Grogu, because he kind of had that same ponytail, but I could be wrong, you know.
You know, it's not going to be somebody like that. So I kind of thought that's who it might be. And then a couple hours later, Rick sends me some screenshots from that flashback scene. And apparently there's a like a decoration or an emblem on the wall that people associate with Barrisoffi.
Really?
So, I don't know. Maybe that's who it is. What about you, Tom? Who do you think it was?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this, and then kind of right before we started recording the Sith List last night, I had thought maybe what if it's Vader?
Anakin? Well, I guess he would be Vader at this point.
Right. And we were kind of talking about that on the Sith List, and I don't know. I don't remember. I feel bad. I don't remember exactly who it was. And at first I thought it was meant as a joke, but then we started talking about it. But what if Vader did save him because he wanted to be like have a secret apprentice?
Ooh.
And that's like how he like Barriss ended up
puts
in the
him
hands.
Somewhere. Not Barriss. Sorry. Vader puts him somewhere safe, but he disappears from there.
Well, but and then ends up in the hands of the Weequays or whoever had him in the beginning of Mando.
That would be interesting. I did not consider that.
I'm not sure how I like it, but I don't know if I like it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things, like, it's such a surprising theory to me, not in a bad way, you know, but it's such a surprising theory to me that I kind of need to sit with it for a little while and kind of imagine it to see how I really feel about it. But on first glance, I don't hate it. I'll say that. What about you, Will? Who do you think might have done it?
My gut's on like either a Jedi or a bounty hunter. Like, I thought Mike Quinlan Voss might be cool to have picked up, you know, Grogu, or like Cad Bane. You know, maybe a bounty hunter was sent in there to retrieve him instead of letting him die in the massacre.
Mm-hmm. Now,
maybe even the old Emperor himself sent a bounty hunter in to get him and then somehow bobbled, you know, fumble on the play, and he didn't make it back to Palpatine.
I'll say this. Of our three choices, the one that would make me the happiest would be Quinlan Voss, just because Sal would be so stoked.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be an appropriate way to bring him back.
Yeah.
We know he survives Order 66.
Yeah, we do. I mean, that's been established in the comics, right? We haven't seen him, but they've established that he survived, right, Tom?
Right.
Yeah. So we get all the Grogu training stuff. It's delightful. Din goes back to Tatooine. We get a cameo from Boba in his own show. Not gonna talk about it. Not gonna talk about the booger cringe takes I've seen people have about Boba not being in this and how it's okay.
Where Boba?
And then, you know, Fennec basically says, you know, we need some more muscle. Din heads out to Mos Pelgo to meet up with Cobb Vanth and try to convince him to join. They have their drink together. It's actually a really good scene. Like, I like their interactions together. Still not a Timothy Oliphant guy. Peace and love.
Man, really? That scene was good. I dug that.
Look, I said it last year when he showed up in Mando. Despite the fact that I don't like Timothy Oliphant, I think he does an excellent job playing the character. You see what that is, guys? It's called a nuanced take, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I love how everyone on that in that section of Tatooine, it has some part of the Krayt Drakkon carcass they're just like, you know, using as a trophy.
Like, I loved the Krayt Drakkon skull being on top of the sand crawler as they're going across the Dune Sea. I thought that was such a neat touch.
I had this thought in my head, like, maybe Mando doesn't remember where they're at, and he's like, well, I'll just cruise around until I find the Jawas with the big dragon skull on there.
I got to say, one of my favorite moments is, and I would be very surprised if this wasn't sort of like a little bit of a wink and a nod to some fans that brought up something from Cobb Vanth's appearance in Mando season two, because in the Aftermath books, and once again, Tom, as a prolific Star Wars reader, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not referred to as Mos Pelgo. It's referred to as Freetown, the town that Cobb is the sheriff of. And when they're sitting there having their drink and Din, you know, mentions Mos Pelgo, and the bartender goes, Freetown. That's what we call it now. We like that name better. Like, I think that...
I like how the Mando's like, yeah, whatever. Okay, Freetown.
I think that has to be like a wink and a nod to the fans that pointed out like, hey, man, you know this place is called Freetown in the books. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what it is.
They're like, I see you seeing me, seeing you.
So then, you know, he's like, well, I'll see what I can do. Din leaves, and then sure enough, we get one of the most badass shots in Star Wars history, I think, when Cobb looks out into the plains or whatever, and you see the silhouette of Cad Bane.
Oh, yeah. It's scary, almost.
Dude, yeah. Like... I like Cad Bane. I like the character Cad Bane. I always wondered, like, ever since I heard that maybe he was going to be in this show, I wondered, like, how are they going to do him in live action? I always have this wonder, right? But damn, did they not do a good job with him, man. Like,
right?
There's a sense of, like, scariness to him. Mm-hmm. In this episode that I personally never really got from any of his Clone Wars or
absolutely
other appearances. Not that I didn't enjoy them, but they really sort of ramped up this idea of an older, more menacing version of Cad Bane.
Mm-hmm.
And just the look of the makeup. I think his hat's a little too small for my personal taste. The teeth, the eyes, all of that. They just nailed it. Will, I mean, you guys.
Same. What'd yeah, you think same, yet? Same. The voice, the only difference I would say is the voice and the sound is spot on. But just from what I remember, Cad Bane in the animated series, he had, I don't know, just like this touch of an accent that I did not hear quite so thick. And now that is not a sticking point. I am totally fine that they didn't have to reproduce that exactly.
Yeah, but he's got it's the same guy doing the voice.
Is it?
It's Corey Burton, and it may just be his take on an older Cad Bane, you know?
Right. But it sounds good. It sounds good, looks good, was intimidating, was the scene was scary. Like it was scary. Like, and I'm sure that has to do with, you know, editing and direction, but and Cobb Vanth's immediate assessment of his ability. That's one of those things that I like in Star Wars that's homage to like a samurai kind of film thing. Because there are moments in samurai films, and I guess it's true in gunslinger films as well, but that where you're sizing up your opponent. Mm-hmm. Like there are nobody is doing anything, but both opponents are measuring and weighing and calculating and, you know, just weighing their opponent mentally.
Yeah.
I like those moments. They're heavy.
I do too.
Attention.
What did you think of Cad Bane in this, Tom?
I thought the characterization and the voice were perfect. He was menacing. Everything Will said, yeah, it was a Western, but it did feel more like a samurai movie, the way they were sizing each other up. I did have a little bit of a problem with his look. I think part of it was, like you said, Hawes, the hat felt a little bit too small. But also the Duros, that's his species. And, you know, this is from seeing him in the Clone Wars and then seeing Shriv in Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the top part of their head is taller.
Well,
like
he has damage in droid parts on top of his skull.
Like the part above where his nose would be.
I see.
It felt like that was spooshed down. Like, so from his, you know, his nose on up, it felt like that was, like, compressed. And I don't know if it has to do with whatever they did with the hat. But again, that's just, other than that, I loved it. And it was great seeing him, and I'm glad we saw him. And if it wasn't for that, it would have been absolutely perfect instead of just nearly perfect.
Yeah. I'm good with just nearly perfect Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, nearly perfect right. is my sweet spot for Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I can definitely see where, like, maybe it does seem like he's a little more smushed down than necessarily, like, facially than I would have imagined. But I think
that may have to do with the way a human skull wears that prosthetic specifically.
That could,
it may have been disorienting to elongate the face.
Yeah.
Or a puppeteer or something.
The practical reality of somebody putting someone in that gear, like, might have played a part in it too, for sure.
And it's very likely that this is because this is the first time I'm seeing it in live action after seeing it in animation. And after a few more times, I'll be perfect. I'll be fine with it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, we saw the one Duros in the cantina, right? But that hardly counts.
Right.
And then the rest of our Duros experience, like you said, has been animated Cad Bane and video game Shriv. So, you know.
That, and the more they do it, the better they're going to get at it, both using the practical and special effects.
Cad kills Cobbs.
His deputy
shoots Cobb.
Swiss cheese, that guy.
Yeah, Cobb is fine, by the way. He took like a shoulder hit. Like, you even saw them immediately rush out with like the first aid kit.
Ye olde hero scratch.
Yeah.
To the shoulder.
And then we cut back to Luke and Grogu and sort of the infamous choice. I gotta tell you, the minute the scene started and that box was sitting next to Luke, I was like, oh shit, there's gonna be a lightsaber in there.
It was like that Shaq and that kitten, the cat meme where they're just shaking their shoulders, like, getting ready. Like, here we go. Here we go.
Yep. And of course, you know, we, along with anybody else that guessed it, not taking credit for it by any means, were right that Din had the armorer make him a little chainmail. And then Luke explains, like, you know, this is a lightsaber. This was Master Yoda's, which I thought was an interesting detail.
Mm-hmm.
And
it would make sense that he would have it, you know. Of course, Luke would go through his stuff, you know, after he disappeared.
Yeah, and there's actually something I want to ask Tom about. You know, we already talked about this whole choice thing, I think, unless either of you guys have anything to add to it. But I have this memory of a, and granted, if there's anything that they're quickest to sort of retcon when they want to do something in TV or animation, it seems to have been the comics. But I have this memory of, and I hope this is a Marvel comic and not an old Dark Horse comic, but there being this scene where after Order 66 on Coruscant, they were like gathering all the dead Jedi lightsabers and incinerating them, including Yoda's.
Yes.
Okay, so that's from
the Charles Sewell Vader series.
That's what I thought.
But I think they're, and you're right, they just throw them into this big incinerator. I think there was a, one of those Age of Rebellion comics that they did up to the lead up of, Rise of Skywalker, where they showed Yoda on Dagobah making a new lightsaber.
Perfect. That's all we need.
I'm 99% sure of that.
Well, and you know, I also remember there being maybe it was one of the new sort of, what do they call those sort of visual dictionaries where you open it up and it's like cutouts, like it'll show like a AT-AT cutout so you can see like inside it where
cross-sections, yeah.
There was a somewhat recent cross-section book that showed Yoda's hut. And one of the features in it was like, oh, this is where Yoda keeps his lightsaber in this little box, you know, somewhere here in his hut. And I remember somebody asking Pablo about it. And him saying, like, well, you know, there's no reason Yoda couldn't have made a new one or couldn't have had, you know, the dude's like almost 1,000 years old. Who's to say he's only ever had one lightsaber, et cetera, right. et cetera. I don't need it that explained to me, but I did think it was interesting. So do either of you guys, before we move on, have anything to add to this whole Grogu's choice between kick-ass armor and kick-ass lightsaber?
I know you guys are more upset about it than I am. It's an incredible way to end mm-hmm. a series finale. Like, that's it's a not great a storytelling finale. And a, well, I mean, I'm in a
episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that I'm upset. It's just it does seem sort of uncharacteristic for Luke during this time, and also like it seems a little goofy considering they've already kind of telegraphed that Grogu is going to be back with Mando. To me, they have.
I think that's subverting expectation. I think that's prime. Because do you remember the scene where he's going to see Grogu and they fake you out where you think you see the rock lifting? Like you think you see, you know, someone levitating a rock, but then it turns out to be the droid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
It may be like that.
You could be very right, but I'm also here to tell, like, from a practical, not like an in-universe standpoint, from a 100% practical, trying to please the audience and whatnot standpoint of making a show, Din and Grogu will be back together. It may not be as a result of this choice that Grogu makes, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also the in-universe thing. Because I have been saying since day one, since Luke came and picked up little baby Yoda at the end of season two of Mando, is that there is no way Grogu is there when Luke's academy gets destroyed by Ben Solo.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously this is a way to get around that. I just always kind of envisioned that Grogu would be there for a little bit. He would get a little training and then something would come up and, you know, kind of like the Empire Strikes Back moment, Will, where he would then choose to go back to help Mando with something. And that could still be what happens. He could very well choose the lightsaber and they delay that a little while, you know.
Because that's what I thought. You know, I thought he would choose a lightsaber and they'll delay, you know, his... Like, you don't need Grogu in the war for Tatooine and the Pikes. Like, you might need him for the war for Mandalore. Like, you don't really need him for a gang squabble.
And I'm also here to tell you, I firmly believe by the time it's all said and done, Grogu will have both. He'll have the armor and the lightsaber. It's only a matter of time.
It would be cool seeing the two of them spar together. You know, like, training, like... The Mando and Grogu, I mean, with their lightsabers.
What were you going to say, Tom?
It was a really weird cliffhanger to have for the Book of Boba Fett, where the main story is what's going on Tatooine, and there's only one episode left.
It was.
War has begun, though. I mean...
It's weird to me that, like...
Did need to get all that out of the way before the war started, though.
You don't give Boba any of these huge moments. Granted, there's a whole episode coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty that could happen. But, like, the biggest moments of your Boba Fett show don't feature Boba Fett. So, you guys know for, like, over a year now, I feel like my big prediction for Book of Boba Fett has been that Han Solo will appear. And I'm here to double down on this prediction as it pertains to the next episode. Cause I don't think the next episode is going to open with them telling us what choice Grogu made. My prediction is that it's going to open up. We're going to get this big, crazy war between Boba's crew and the Pikes and their crew. I think the Pikes are going to have other bounty hunters and other... I think there's big surprises left. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if when the war goes down, it's not just Cad Bane on the Pike side. Like, might see Bosk or Forlorn. Yeah, whatever. And then I think that'll all wrap up. I think somewhere in the process, I'm hoping what will happen is that they'll establish some reason for Boba to be involved in the story of Mando season 3. And then the big surprise at the end is going to be the motherfucking Millennium Falcon showing up and Han will be delivering Grogu back to the Mando. That's my prediction, how they can work Han in. And I do want to say one thing. I hope I'm wrong, but I got serious bad vibes from the amount of times they mentioned Cobb Vanth giving up that armor. Right? Like, there was three different instances. Like, Din shows up and he says, oh, you know, I haven't seen you since you gave up your armor. And then just a couple minutes later, Cobb Vanth says, in relation to Grogu rejoining his kind, Cobb Vanth says, well, we both really lost something we cared about, talking about the armor. And then when Cad Bane is having his fucking standoff with Cobb Vanth, he says, like, you should have never given up that armor. So, like, within, I don't know, 10 minutes or something, there's three references to Cobb Vanth giving up that armor. And to me, I hope I'm wrong, but I got the vibe of, well, you're bringing that up so much because you're about to give him that armor back. And I hope that is not the case. I hope what doesn't happen next episode is Boba dies, so then they can give Cobb Vanth his armor. Give Cobb Vanth Boba's armor. I won't be happy if that
happens. I hope you're wrong.
I hope I am too. But you guys see what I'm saying? Like, it seemed like they brought it up so much in this small period of time. I get bringing it up once to sort of remind the audience who's not psycho like us and watches all this stuff so much and talks about it so much. I get bringing it up once to remind them, like, oh, yeah, that's who had Boba's armor before. But to bring it up that much.
Even says, how you been? He said, more careful, a lot more careful.
Yeah. So I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I guess we'll see. Hey, you guys got any closing thoughts on the episode before we jump into voicemails and emails?
Oh, man, no. It's just mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing indeed. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, like Will said, it was a mind-blowing episode. There were, you know, some things I really liked, but it's just that weird disconnect of some things I didn't like or wasn't comfortable with. But at the same time, I think it's also a good idea for where they're going with Star Wars, and that a lot of these shows will be interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get, you know, more characters, more shows, I think you're going to see a lot more things like this.
I think so too. And I just want to say, I want to put my good foot in the sand right here. I want to stake my claim to this. If, I don't think it would happen, but if next season of Mandalorian, if there's in season 3 of The Mandalorian, if there's a whole episode that's just Boba Fett, I better not see any bitching about it on Twitter after all the fucking high horsing I've seen people do about there not being Boba Fett in these last two episodes. All right, just saying
it's
it now.
It's gonna be where Din Djarin?
Yeah, exact. Look, I'm just
Where's
saying.
Mando?
I have seen some pretentious ass hot takes about the fact that they haven't used Boba in the last two episodes. So if I see the same hot takers getting pissed if they did something like that in Mando season 3, the North remembers. That's what I'm saying.
That's the reason I don't think you can off him either.
Look, once again,
the last two episodes he's barely around, and then you're gonna off him in the last one.
I hate saying this, because who the fuck am I, right? Who am I? I'm a dude that loves Star Wars. I watch a ton of Star Wars. I do a Goofy Little Star Wars Podcast. It's not like I'm involved in any way in the creative process. But if they kill Boba next episode, I don't know that they will. Anybody will be able to convince me that they didn't know what to do with the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just don't see how it could be anything but the case if they kill him next episode. Like, to me, that would be sort of a sign of them being like, well, I don't know, man. We basically made a show about Boba Fett, but he's not Boba Fett. And everybody seems to really like it. So,
That or Tamora. You think Tamora would have a set number, a limit that he would say,
no,
I'm doing so many and then I'm.
Absolutely.
I think he's having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, because of how the story is set up, like, even if they did kill Boba off, it's not like we couldn't see Tamora ever again. He could show up as Rex or any number of fucking Bad Batch. So, we'll see. Let's do some voicemail. I got to stop talking about this because I can feel blood boiling. I
want somebody to deep fake a Bad Batch thing with a bunch of Tamoras. Like, I don't know why, I just kind of want to see that.
Yeah, I do too. Let's hear from some friends, though. Maybe they'll soothe my mind. If you want to send in a voicemail or an email, it's easy enough. BlueHarvestPodcast@gmail.com. And we don't have King Tom to kick off the voicemail segment because he's here in person. But who we do have is Intercontinental Tom. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, Hoswell and fellow Tom, the king of all Toms. How you doing? Oh, what an episode. I felt a bit like the last voicemail I sent in, I actually sent him before seeing last week's episode. So I felt after that episode aired and it was just as incredible as it was, I felt kind of goofy that I hadn't been, you know, mentioned it at all really in any kind of detail in my voicemail. So I'll do it now. Last week's episode, 10 out of 10. This week's episode, I'll give it a 10 out of 10 again. It just, it's the kind of Star Wars that dreams are made of, I really gotta say. I have no questions or anything else, just to say, like, let's all enjoy what's going on. I can't wait for next week's episode. Hawes, in your immediate reactions, you expressed a little bit of concern that Boba Fett might be on his way out next week. I really don't think so. I feel like this conflict, this underworld conflict, is only, it's just kicking off. I feel like we might just be seeing the beginning of all this. That's how I feel anyway. All right, everybody, enjoy. Awesome. Have a great time. This is Intercontinental Tom signing off.
Okay, so I'm letting it play a little longer because it says his voicemail is 3 minutes and 44 seconds. But maybe that's just an accident or like some kind of weird technical glitch. I just don't want to miss.
This is a world exclusive. I will be mentioning it on my own podcast, of course.
Oh, weird. It combined this week's voicemail with last week's. That has to be a problem on my end. Look, I would love to be as confident about it that Boba's not going to die next episode as Tom was. I just can't bring myself to do it right now. You know, once again, like, it's such a weird feeling that I've never experienced where I like something this much, but I'm also disappointed. And I was telling Jesse, because we're heading out of town to see Tool this weekend. We're going down to New Orleans. And I was telling her, like, I need a vacation. Like, I need a weekend away, not worrying about Star Wars, not worrying about Boba Fett, to just sort of reset myself. So, you know, maybe we'll get back in town Sunday leading into the finale and I'll be like in a little bit more positive mood. And when I say that, I mean about Boba Fett in general, not the show, because I still view the show positively. It's not that. I just hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. We'll see, though. All right, let's see. Let's hear from Josh.
Hello there, Hawes and Will. This is your pal, Josh Wright. Hope you guys are doing well. Wow, what a great episode. Little light on the Boba Fett content again, but a lot of content from about everybody else. It looks like we're gearing up to a big throwdown for the final episode of this season of the Book of Boba Fett. I have a list of names. I would like to run by you guys, and if you would please give me a percentage for how likely you think this person is to be in the finale, and if you have time, maybe how much you'd like to see them in the finale. All right, so without further ado, here we go. Number one, Carson Teva.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Carson Teva is the X-Wing pilot guy, the Asian guy, with the like the goatee. He's been in every season. Was he in
season?
Yeah, he was in season one of Mandalorian.
If he was in the squadron with Filoni.
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He was in the Frog Lady episode.
And yep. He was, yeah, that too.
And he was in the episode with Din and Grief and nobody else when they went to the Imperial base. And he was in just an episode last week, the one where Din was joyriding. Will he show up? What do you think, Tom? What percentage would you give that?
I'd say 60%.
Yeah, I'd say more than 50 for sure. What do you think, Will?
In the next episode?
Yes.
I say 5%. I don't see him coming back. Not till next time.
I feel like they're really setting that character up for something. To be more involved in the story.
Something's going to happen.
And I do kind of wonder if, like, this big war between underworld factions would get the New Republic's attention. So maybe he does show up to scope things out. I don't think it would be in necessarily any major capacity. Like, I think it would probably be something comparable to how he's appeared in the past. But I also think it's only a matter of time before he becomes more of a part of the bigger story. Like, I honestly do think he would probably have been a main character in Rangers of the New Republic. And I'd love to see him. So, all right, let's see who his next one is. I love this percentage game that Jim came up with.
I know.
The Republic pilot played by Paul Sun Hyung Lee. 2, Hera.
Ooh. I'm going to say 0%. Just because I think they're going to save Hera for the Ahsoka show. What do you think, Will?
25%. We'll go low, but not no.
What about you, Tom?
I think 5%, but I would love to see her.
I would love to see her. I just think, you know, we're about to get the closest thing to a Rebel sequel when the Ahsoka show comes out. And I think they're going to save, you know, Sabine, Hera, Ezra, so on and so on for that. All right, let's see.
3, Hondo.
That's 50-50.
50-50. Once again, I'd love it.
Because he's tied into the theme park. He's tied into Galaxy's Edge.
He sure is. I'm going to say 30%. Just because, you know, to me, Hondo would make more sense than Hera because he does have connections to sort of the underworld of it all, right? But I just...
Ooh.
What do you think, Tom?
I'd say 20. I love the character, would like to see him, but I just don't see how he fits in at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of my
flavor at best.
Yeah, like, right. You know, the thing about working in like Bossk or Forlom and Zuckuss is like you can trot them out for this big battle and big dum-dums like me will be like, oh my god, it's Bossk, I'm so excited. But you don't have to like characterize Bossk very much. You don't have to like get into the character. It's the perfect kind of character to work into a scene as like a surprise, give him some cool moments, but you don't have to get into like learning about him. And I would want them to do more than just that with Hondo, right?
Yeah.
All right.
4, Omega.
0%. I would love to see what happens when Omega and Boba meet, but I feel like it's too premature to start working Omega into live action stuff when we don't know how her story with the Bad Batch sort of wraps up yet. What do you think, Tom?
I think 0. I think you bring her in season 2.
I think she's coming, but I don't think she's coming next episode.
I love this positivity in about a second season of Book of Boba Fett. You know,
dude,
what?
I really think it is. I know you only think it's one, but
if they
there's so much more here. Why leave so much on the table?
Because you don't know what to do with the character. The thing that would make me super happy is that, you know how like at the end of like a Marvel movie, at the end of the credits, they'll be like, Spider-Man will return in whatever. If they ended, like if they had that in the credits, it was like Boba Fett will return in the Book of Boba Fett season 2. Woo! I would be happy. I don't know. We'll see. Right.
Five, that Swole Hutt from War of the Bounty Hunters.
0%. We already got our Hutts in this one. I don't think we'll get... What was his name?
Gracchus?
Yes.
I don't know if Gracchus was in War of the Bounty Hunters. The one that was in War of the Bounty Hunters...
Oh, is somebody different.
He died.
That's right.
Because he took on the Imperials on behalf of Crimson Dawn. But Gracchus is...
In High
around.
Republic. Right?
No, he's in this era, and he makes it all the way to the sequel trilogy era.
Oh, okay.
Because he's in the Poe Dameron series. So technically he's still around. But yeah, I think they've used their Hutts for now.
Will, have you seen these buff Hutts that they've been doing in the comics?
No, buff Hutts?
Yeah, they're like, they're exactly what they sound like. They're Hutts with like 12-pack washboard abs and pecs and shit.
What? So they're not lazy slugs?
I guess they just, you know, be putting their reps in. They intermittent.
They gym slugs.
They do intermittent fasting and take Alpha Brain and shit.
Right.
Good one.
Six.
That Sigma grind.
Han and Chewie in the Millennium Falcon with a bunch of Ewoks.
I would have given him 100% if he didn't add the Ewoks on the end. So Han and Chewie, I think 100%. Ewoks, probably 0%, even though...
You think Han and Chewie and the Falcon are showing up next episode?
Yes, I told you. I think
100%.
I think that is who's going to be delivering.
I mean, I know you said you thought. I didn't know you said 100%. I definitely
think Han and Chewie are in the next episode. And this is just a gut feeling I've had for over a year now, since they announced the Book of Boba Fett, since we saw deep fake or whatever Luke in Mando season 2. I was like, look, that got such a big reception, they are not going to be able to avoid trying it again. And sure enough, they did it with Luke. They're going to do it with Han eventually. Harrison has been filming Indiana Jones. He's had fucking motion tracking dots all over his face when you see the behind the scenes pictures, meaning for at least some part of the next Indiana Jones movie, he's going to be de-aged, right? I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do it. They're going to give us a little Han Han. What do you think, Will? What's your percentage?
On Han? 30%.
What do you think, Tom?
I'd say 60 for Han, Chewie, and the Falcon.
I'm putting all my chips on the table.
We'll see. Double or nothing.
Yep. We'll see what happens.
Next, Geode.
It's Tom. So Will is not, I don't know how aware of Geode Will is. Please tell Will about Geode. You would do a much better job than I would.
Okay, so Geode is a character from the High Republic series. He is a giant rock. He's a boulder. He's a navigator for like an independent ship that has done a few missions, and they end up kind of telling the stories of the Jedi. And some people are like, oh, that's just a rock. And other people are like, no, you know, his crew interacts with him. It's the type of thing like, you know, Leox looked across the room, and when he turned back, Geode moved. And so Leox is this guy. He's like Space Matthew McConaughey. And he's like, all right, Geode, I guess you're standing over there. And it just, he's a character.
So is
They've
it like...
made a damn ass rock a character. I'm sorry, what was your question?
So is it like for some people it's just a rock and some other people can see that it is sentient, or is it like it is just a rock and some people think that it is sentient?
It is just a rock, but people know it is sentient.
Okay, they know it's sentient.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if there was ever a character from a Star Wars book that Will would love, it's Leox.
I'm sure.
Have you read in The Fallen Star yet, Hawes?
No, I haven't.
They do some... I don't want to spoil anything they do with Geode for you.
Okay.
Because there is some Geode stuff in this book. Like, I can't believe it made it in a Star Wars book in a good way.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I mean, unfortunately, I'm going to give them a 0% of showing up. They'll save that for when they do the High Republic live action show.
Yeah. I would absolutely love to see it, but I think it's one of those things that you would have to explain it too much.
We got an hour tops for this, guys.
Yes. 43 minutes. Make it count.
Next name, Jean-Claude Van Damme in some capacity.
You want to talk about righting all the personal wrongs I've felt about this show? JCVD, baby! You know what?
I've been gone for a very long time, but I'm Sith and I'm here. I returned.
Just like apparently I can't have a entire show focused on Boba Fett, I don't believe I'll ever see JCVD in Star Wars. And who knows? That could even be for the best. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to give him like a 5% just because I want like a 5% of hope to cling on to. What do you think, Will?
I'm going to give it some percent. We'll say, I mean, it's like a 2% chance. But if he comes back, he's a Sith Lord and like Rob Van Dam is his apprentice.
No. JCVD, if they put him in Star Wars, he needs to be a good guy.
Yes. What? Yeah. No.
Why a bad
he's
guy?
He's going to be doing force roundhouse kicks all over the place.
No. Just because fucking.
He needs to like put the lightning on his stinky leg and then like, you know, Fei Long it across the.
No. Just because fucking creepy ass dick wiggling Ray Park was a Sith Lord, I don't think that means you got to make JCVD a Sith Lord. You make him a good guy. I'm not even saying you make him a Jedi, because I just don't think you make him a Jedi. Like, what I want is, let me think. Like, I don't even necessarily think I want JCVD to have a big role, but maybe like
The Woody Harrelson character would have been cool, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like the like the smuggler, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
If they had cast that with Jean-Claude Van Damme instead, that's not a bad call. Like, yeah, maybe a role that size or even something smaller, like just a cameo would be enough for me. Like, have him be I don't know what a good size.
It would have been good as the DJ character.
Yeah, but look, I love...
For as brief as that was.
I love Jean-Claude Van Damme, but he is not on the level of a Benicio Del Toro. Like, look, I can be honest about the dude. What's your percentage chance?
I'll say 5%. But if we do see him, there's a 100% chance he's going to be doing the splits on two speeder bikes.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Let's start the hashtag now. Hashtag JCVD for Geode.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be.
And finally, a pod of Purgle. All right, guys, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. I know you're keeping it clean. May the force be with you.
You know it.
Do you know what this question reminds me of?
Hmm.
When Andy at the office is talking to that DJ or that band and he's like, no hits, deep cuts only.
Look, we're going to see live action Purgle 100%, but that's going to be in Ahsoka. Once again, that's going to be for Ahsoka. Purgle or the space whales that take Thrawn and Ezra away. I'm right, right? That's what the Purgles are?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
They show up in Ahsoka.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If he was asking percentages for Ahsoka, I'd say 100%. But for Boba Fett, I'm going to say 2.7%. What do you think, Tom?
Zero. Yeah, Ezra's not saving the day with space whales today on this show.
What do you think, Will?
Yeah, zero. I need Boba to ride the Rancor or Mythosaur before he rides the space whale. We'll get there.
We'll get there in due time.
Although they should put out an album with Boba duetting with like a whale Purgil song or whatever.
Oh, that would be awesome. All right, so we got one more voicemail and an email, and we'll call it a night. This is from our buddy Rick.
Hey there, Hawsey and Will. King Tom, how you guys doing? It's been a week. It's been an episode. My dude, Cad Bane. It's been, I'm just starting to settle down. I just got up off that bench that those robots, that them androids made. I laid down for a day or two. Oz, man, I feel for you, homie. I know you've been looking forward to a Boba Fett thing and two episodes kind of without him. Like, I feel for you, man. I really hope the finale gives you a lot more of your man under the helmet, Boba Fett, riding that Rancor, doing some things to whoever gets in his way. And I want to put this out there publicly with Cad Bane. I've said this before, maybe to some people just in chats and stuff, but like, I'm okay with Cad Bane coming into a show live action, even if the point is just to kill him off. So if he dies in the finale next week, I mean, while it will hurt for me as the super fan, like, I'd be okay with it, because there's a lot of years where they can just bring him in the past. And there's precedent for people who died to come back, because, I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi died in the very first Star Wars thing ever. And he's been in a bunch of things for the last 40 years. So there's precedent for that. But I do want to ask a question of you, Hawes. I know, given the title of the show and kind of the marketing of the show, you know, having a chunk of it kind of not be devoted to your guy. If in the, you know, Star Wars : the Book of Boba Fett : the gallery episode : is where we break it down. If there's like an interview in there where Dave Filoni says something like, well, you know, the intention for this thing was to be kind of an anthology show, but we did have this larger story for Boba Fett, would that kind of take the sting away from the way the show was marketed as a solely Boba Fett thing, with kind of these side stories of, you know, Din and Luke and Grogu and Ahsoka and whoever, you know, Cobb Vanth, who's not dead, by the way. But do you think it would kind of lessen this thing to hear that afterwards? Even though they kind of didn't tell us that in the first place, maybe to kind of hide spoilers or whatever. I'm just trying to, you know, offer a little bit of therapy for you, because I know this really hasn't gone the way that you wanted it. But I don't know. I'll let you guys mull on that. And I don't know. Dumb predictions. Do you think there'll be a stinger at the end of the finale? I've been saying that I think Sabine Wren is going to pop up at the end saying, hey, we heard there's a Mandalorian here, and to Boba, and just say something like, we need your help. And that'll kick off going into whatever's with Ahsoka and maybe some stuff with Mandalore now. Well, who knows? Possibilities are open. Now, for all I know, we can get Meeber Gascon in the finale blowing up stuff, because that'd be pretty rad too. Anyway, I'll let you guys mull on that. Thanks for an awesome show. And I will talk with all of you guys soon. Peace out. May the Force be with you.
Look, that might ease my feelings a little. But if that is the case, if they were sitting around and wanted to make it more of an anthology show, they should have titled it something different. And no amount of, like, arguments on Twitter is going to change my mind about that. Not that I've been arguing. I've just been secondhand watching them. But if you want my not harebrained theory about it, I do think there might be a really practical reason why it was set up this way, and I think it's COVID. I think if you do 5 episodes with your regular cast in one production setting, then do 2 episodes, you know, in a different production setting with different crew and majority different cast, then that makes it easier to produce 7 episodes and also adhere to pretty strict COVID protocols, right? Is what I'm saying making sense? Like,
it is. I hadn't thought of that, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah. And You know, because this show was started and completed in, you know, with having to abide by COVID protocols 100%. So, you know, if that, you know, once again, if that turned out to be the case, of course, I'm not going to be like, oh, fuck you guys for trying to be safe. You know, if they explained that that was part of their thinking, doesn't make it suck any less, though, that the disappointment, at least, not the show itself. I'm not saying the show sucks, far from it. But I do kind of wonder if that is the reason, if it's actually sort of a practical COVID related episode, because to me, it's clear that the last two episodes were probably, well, I think they were filmed. I don't know if we talked about it, but they have a new version of the volume. So the volume we saw in all the behind the scenes stuff for The Mandalorian season one and two and stuff was a big square, you know, sort of half circle wall. Well, they have a new version that is oval shaped instead of being square shaped. And what it does, the benefit of that is, like, you'll notice, especially in a couple of the earlier episodes of Book of Boba Fett, when it's a volume shot and they're doing background stuff, sometimes the background will look a little blurry. Using the oval shaped volume cuts down on that. Like, there was a very specific scene, two that I can think of. One is in Mando season two, and it's actually at the end of the episode where they reintroduce Boba Fett, and it's a scene where Moff Gideon is on the bridge of his ship, and there's like space in the background and some stormtroopers lined up. If you watch that, it's extremely blurry. Like, it stands out that the background is blurry. And then in this season of the Book of Boba Fett, the first time, maybe the second time, I can't remember which one, that Boba goes into Sanctuary, the bar, there's a really blurry background shot there too. I'm kind of convinced that they might have used the new version of the volume for these last two episodes, which would once again lead me to believe that that's probably in a different studio than the rest of Book of Boba Fett was shot in.
That makes perfect sense.
Sorry. Yeah.
I think about why Boba hasn't been in this more way too much.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. It bugs me a little bit. All right. We got one email. It's from Utah. Dougie. He says, what would you choose, armor or saber? Explain why you have chosen this path. What do you think Grogu should do, Dougie? Well, we've talked about what we think Grogu will do, should do, what we'd like to see him do. Personally, for me, if I was given the choice, unless it was Mandalorian plate armor, I think I would go for the lightsaber. Because as much as I love Mandos and Boba and Mandalorian armor, and it's a fucking lightsaber, so I think I would choose a lightsaber. What would you choose, Will?
Same thing. I would choose the lightsaber, and then once I became super strong in the ways of the Force, I'd be like, Luke, you still got my armor?
Hey, man, my dad made that for me.
Mm-hmm. He said it was my right.
Something about being a foundling. What about you, Tom? What would you choose?
Do we have to choose the training or the life of a bounty hunter, or is it just choosing the item?
It's a good question. I guess let's present your case. I approached it from just the item, right?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Given the choice of, like, hey, you can either go hang out with your dad or you can stay here and train as a Jedi, that might alter my choice. Although, Dad, I know you don't listen to the podcast, but just in case you ever hear this one, peace and love, I might still choose the lightsaber. I don't know. What about you, Tom? What do you think?
Yeah, if it's just the item, I would choose the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the life, I might tell Yoda or I might tell Luke, hey, my dad has a lightsaber too.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have let me see him, you would have seen that too. And, you know, just choose the armor and go hang out with Din. Just knowing, you know, I'm sure that the memories Grogu has of the temple and of being of the Jedi aren't all great.
No.
And, you know, maybe he can sense that. And till Luke decides there has to be, a, you know, there's always a choice to be better.
Right.
I might choose the other path.
That's a good point. You bring up some good points there, buddy. So that's going to do it for us this week. Tom, buddy, thank you so much for joining me and Will. It's been a delight, yeah, as always.
It's always thank nice to have you.
Yeah, it's always great being here.
Why don't you tell everybody where to find you, where to hear you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, on Twitter at Tom Chansky, one word. I'm on weekly on the Sith List podcast. And then I do Patreon shows for Steel Wars, The Bad Motivators, and then the Masters of Harvest Kassi with Hawes.
Which we're going to have a new one before too long. We've got the game decided. I've played a little bit of it. We'll record that sometime after we get back. Jesse and I get back from New Orleans. So,
okay.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We've got one more episode of Book of Boba Fett to go. We will be having our buddy Steel Saunders on to discuss the finale next week. And you should leave us a review on iTunes if you haven't already. You should check out Stoned Cobra if you like our theme song. They're on iTunes, Spotify, and at stonedcobra.bandcamp.com. And you should check out the High Potion podcast with me and our buddy Steve talking about video games. And until next week, when I could be real bummed or real, we'll see. It is up in the air. It is quite the cliffhanger. The choice is yours, Star Wars. What are you going to choose?
How are you going to make me feel?
Disappoint one dude or delight millions? This has been Blue Harvest, and I'm Halls Burkhart.
And I'm Will Witten.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with all of you.
May the Force be with us.